As I stand before you, I ask you now the same question that I asked of you the previous year.
Stockwell suddenly turned to Cordoba.
Does he really believe he's King Arthur?
Shouldn't we be watching the speech, sir?
As if I haven't read it already. I'm just curious. All that business during the mayoral race years back. The King Arthur theme that emerged. Even the jousting and swordplay. Humiliating, trite foolishness. But he went along with it and became a man of the people, so I suppose I've no right to be snide about it. Still, does he truly believe it? Is it some psychosis that he simply learned to turn to productive means, or was it an act?
Sir, I'm not sure why you're asking me this.
I'm asking because you were with him since his mayoral campaign.
Stockwell leaned forward in his chair, staring intently at Ron.
I'm asking if he genuinely has a delusion that he is King Arthur. And don't lie to me, Ronald. I'm very, very good at telling when people are lying to me, so don't even try it. Just tell me. I have a right to know, not only as the vice president, but as an American citizen.
I've known Arthur for quite some time, and I can personally assure you, he is not suffering from a delusion about being King Arthur.
The congressmen were on their feet, applauding something Arthur had said about job opportunities. Stockwell ignored it, focusing instead on Cordoba, searching for some hint of duplicity. He got nothing off him in that regard, which meant either Cordoba was being honest, or he was so brilliant in concealing the truth that Stockwell never wanted to play poker with him.
So it's image-making, then, is what you're saying?
You're saying that, sir. Me, I'm just agreeing with you.
Our concentration on foreign affairs, particularly the revolution in Transable, has been wearying, I know. No one is more painfully aware of the difficulties we still face at home than I. The road to eliminating terrorism in our lifetime has been a long and rocky one. The problem is that because America is a great country, filled with such wonder, such opportunity, we have always had the inclination to put America first. This is a laudable goal, an understandable one, as far as it goes. But in our formation of an international coalition with the intent of making the world a safer place, we have had to look beyond our borders and think about putting the world first. We look upon our own difficulties and think, why should we be so concerned with what's happening in other countries? But the lesson we have learned over these trying months has been that we must think from the greater to the smaller. To consider the greater problem, in this case, a world at the mercy of terrorist activities, and solve that so that the smaller difficulties can be attended to. By bringing to the world a sense of global community, so that instead of matters being viewed simply as that we are helping everyone else, it is seen that we are all helping one another. Terrorists are cowards. No more, no less. We have taken the measure of these terrorists and found them wanting. And that point of view has paid off. I am pleased to announce that our peace treaty with Transable, the last country that gave willing haven to Arnim Sandoval, has been finalized. All assets of his operation have been frozen. Furthermore, as an act of good faith, Transable intelligence agencies have turned over to us massive records that have given us a broader picture of Sandoval's organization than we have ever had before. We know who his agents are, his lieutenants, his field operatives. We know where they are. And I am pleased to announce, we believe we know where he is as well. According to latest intelligence, he is, apparently, in several hundred pieces.
That is not confirmed! That is not confirmed! We do not have confirmation on that!
Stockwell leaned forward to the TV as if Arthur could hear him.
We do not have confirmation!
Then he whirled toward Cordoba, his face alight with barely controlled fury. Picking up the remote, he punched the mute button.
Did you know about this? Did you know he was going to say this?
No, I didn't.
Son of a bitch! That was a preliminary intelligence report.
He paced furiously around the room, at one point in such a rage that he punched the wall, scraping his knuckles fiercely.
That information is barely 2 hours old. Delta Force is still picking up the pieces. We know we hit Sandoval's main bunker, but we don't know for sure he was in it. The president was told it was only 70% certain. He was told this. I know because I was told this, and I'm reasonably sure I was told the same thing he was. Wasn't I? Ugh, I'll kill him!
I swear to God, I'll kill Pen for this. And if it was her idea, I'll kill her too.
Cordoba had pulled out his cell phone and he was talking urgently to one of his aides, trying to find out what had happened.
Sir, may I point out that threatening the life of the President of the United States and the First Lady within hearing distance of the Secret Service standing just outside the door may not be the brightest of maneuvers, even if you're the Vice President.
Cordoba went back to his conversation. The Vice President paced past the screen, staring at it with cold and growing anger.
You smug son of a bitch! Had to go for the big show, didn't you? Had to go for something that would knock him flat.
Cordoba flipped shut his phone.
I just spoke to Nellie Porter.
Porter? She's the First Lady's woman. What does she...
She's who I was able to get on the phone. And she was in the limo with the President. She said Mrs. Penn was concerned that CNN was going to air the story first, break it before any of us said anything, and we'd be playing catch-up. Mrs. Penn suggested that he say something during the State of the Union, emphasizing that it wasn't definite. You heard him. He put in qualifiers.
Qualifiers?
He pointed at the TV screen. The congressmen were still on their feet, applauding. He had a feeling it was going to be a record for length of an ovation.
You mean just because he said apparently? You think apparently is going to mean a damned thing to that? That's stupid!
All right, that's enough. He made a judgment call. And since he's the goddamn president, he gets to goddamn do that. You want to vent? You want to call him an asshole for making a decision that you don't agree with? Fine. Then you do it here, or you do it in private with him. But the moment we walk out there, or you find cameras stuck in your face, you smile, and you suck it up, and you keep your feelings to yourself. You got it?
How dare you?
Yeah, how dare I? I'm the chief of staff. That's what I do. I dare. And that ass-kicking is still available.
Stockwell glared at him, then turned his back, but didn't want to look at the screen either. He moved through the room, shaking his head. Cordoba simply stood there, apparently deciding that the best thing to do was let Stockwell vent. The State of the Union address went on for another 43 minutes. Eventually, Stockwell's anger lapsed, and he turned the sound of the TV back on. When he finally sat on the couch, he simply crossed his arms tightly, looking for all the world like an oversized 5-year-old who was incensed because he wasn't getting candy.
It was damned stupid. And I just hope to hell we don't wind up with more damage control than we can handle if it turns out Sandoval is still sucking oxygen.
So do I.
Having concluded the State of the Union address, Arthur was drinking in the ovation that greeted him as he slowly made his way back up the way he'd come in. Gwen was waiting for him on the aisle, and he put out an arm to her. She put her arm through his, and Stockwell, for all his annoyance at the situation, had to admit reluctantly that they were a handsome couple.
He doesn't understand, Ronald.
The coverage switched to outside the Capitol building.
After all this time, he still goes in for spectacle. Still goes in for the big gesture, the big moment. He doesn't fully understand what governing is. The small compromises, the little moments. He still orders people around as if he was...
King?
Yes, that's exactly right. And it just makes you wonder about the long-term health of his presidency.
On the screen, Arthur and Gwen were heading for the limo, ringed as always by their protectors, and suddenly there was chaos on the TV screen. Arthur seemed to be looking around, and Gwen fell against him, and the Secret Service men had drawn in, obscuring them from view, hustling them toward the limo. Cordoba was on his feet, eyes wide. For a split second, Stockwell thought assassins charged into the study. He threw his hands over his head, surrendering, and then he realized it was the Secret Service men.
We have to go, sir.